approved by both all counsel. Next case for argument is Nair versus Principi. Mr. Bridge.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. My name is Timothy Bridge, and I represent the plaintiff, Sukumari Nair. Frankly, I was clearly of the opinion that this appeal, Your Honors, and cases like it, were definitely decided by this circuit's opinion in Stone versus City of Indianapolis. As this Court is aware, that case...
I don't think so.
Well, Your Honor, in that case...
Some familiarity with Stone.
I know you do, Your Honor.
First of all, what I don't understand about this case, what's she doing running to the EEOC? I don't get that. This is the most multi-ethnic workplace I've ever seen, right? There aren't any, you know, old-fashioned WASPs in this workplace, so far as I can tell. So how could she think that she was being discriminated against because of her ethnicity? So she keeps running to the EEOC, driving everybody crazy. So if they react and they say, look, this person is running to the EEOC, I don't see how that sets the stage for a serious retaliation claim.
Let me address that.
I mean, you can certainly, it's not retaliation to be resentful at someone who files frivolous complaints, calling into question your conduct, you know, and trying to sick a government agency on you. Of course co-workers will react negatively to that. How is the employer responsible for that? Because as I understand, your complaint of retaliation is not that, or it's not primarily that the department did anything to her, it's that her co-workers, you know, hit her with the scissors and so on because she exasperated them so much. I don't see that as retaliation by the employer.
If I may, the first issue you raised was how can this be a underlying case of discrimination? In the facts given and the accepted facts, this is a shop, Your Honor, where all the supervisors and 90% of the workers are, in fact, Filipino. This is the only Indian young lady working there. So her underlying claims going back to 95 are based upon national origin where she's the minority.
Szolak is not a Filipino, right?
Correct.
Right. Szolak is Polish, right?
But Gnaden and Ramos and the rest of these actors are.
No, not the rest of them. Modelski, is Modelski a Filipino?
No, Your Honor, she's
no.
not.
That's a
supervisor.
It's a real rainbow of ethnicities, so... What? And I didn't even see you argue. I don't recall your arguing in your briefs that Filipinos had ganged up on her. Everybody hated her, regardless of ethnicity. Isn't that true?
What?
Well, not everyone hated her, Your Honor.
Well, who didn't hate her?
What exactly is the evidence that she was harassed based on her national origin? Her, you know, as a East Indian woman.
It's not a national origin case, Your Honor. First, it's a hostile work environment and retaliation case. Now, the plaintiff says...
Retaliation for what? That's for what? Very important.
For
right?
engaging...
Actually,
for engaging.
You're permitted to retaliate for frivolous complaints.
An
employer can fire you if you file frivolous complaints.
Judge, these aren't frivolous complaints. As a matter of fact, the second complaint was subject to a settlement agreement that the parties all agreed had merit.
Well, they don't all agree. The fact that there's a settlement doesn't mean a claim has merit. It
certainly doesn't indicate it's frivolous.
Yeah, but these are frivolous to the extent that her complaints were complaints of ethnic discrimination, right?
No, they were not.
What were they complaints about?
Her complaints, in fact, and the record is clear, they're not singular, but many. The theory of this case is that this woman files complaints wherein she alleges to her supervisors that her co-workers are coming to her and saying, Ms. Nair, we won't work with you, Ms. Nair, we will subject you to hostility because you have filed complaints and EEO complaints.
No. Look, you're not listening. Go back to the beginning, the first complaint. What was that based on?
The first complaint was based upon disparate treatment on the basis of her national origin.
Right.
Well, and there's no basis for that, right?
And she claimed that her
She keeps filing these complaints based on extremely implausible theory of ethnic discrimination. And naturally, her co-workers are upset. Now, how does the company become implicated in this?
The company, in this case, the VA,
I mean,
is responsible.
The agency, right.
It's responsible to make certain that Ms. Nair is not castigated, segregated, case, physically attacked.
If she files frivolous complaints, why shouldn't she be castigated? I mean, she shouldn't be attacked with the scissors. I agree with that.
Well, Your Honor, you're giving me a tough way to go when you start off your question saying Ms. Nair is filing frivolous, worthless charges.
Yes, well, they are.
Well, due respect, Your Honor, they are not.
Well, you make no effort to show they have any merit.
Well, in fact, when Ms. Nair comes before supervisors and says, look, I'm being treated differently, people refuse to work with me, and they're coming to me saying, you're a problem because you're going to the EEOC and filing complaints. You're telling people that we're not doing our jobs.
Except, look, now wait a second.
Right.
Now wait a second. You don't go to the EEOC in order to tell the EEOC that your coworkers are not good nurses.
And she
that
did
has
not.
Nothing to do with the. You just said what her coworkers resent
right.
is the fact that she keeps complaining about their work performance.
That is
now,
part
why
of her
shouldn't
complaint.
They resent that? That has nothing to do with the EEOC or ethnic discrimination.
Well, ethnic discrimination is clearly based upon disparate treatment. She is claiming in her underlying complaints that she's treated differently, and she's the only Indian in the crowd.
No, the reason that they don't like her and attack her with the scissors and all that is that she tells the EEOC that they're doing a lousy job. Well, naturally they resent that, and especially since it's not the EEOC's business whether these are good nurses or bad nurses.
I would agree with the court on that. But it is the EEOC's, and in this case the Office of Resolution Management, to look and see if these workers are coming to her saying, look, we take great resentment that you're going to the EEOC, and we are not going to work with you because you're going
look,
to the EEOC.
Look, suppose she goes to the EEOC and she says, she doesn't say anything about ethnicity or anything. She says, the other nurses in this Veterans Hospital are lousy nurses. And suppose her coworkers are furious and attack her with the scissors. Now, I don't think that's retaliation within the meaning of the, you know, Title VII, because the conduct, their resentment, has nothing to do, it doesn't have it doesn't originate in discrimination.
Judge, she doesn't go to the EEOC and complain that her coworkers are bad or they're poor nurses. She goes to the EEOC with a very specific different charge. And that different charge is, I've made complaints.
No.
Wait a minute,
you keep skipping the beginning. Why did she first go to the EEOC before she started complaining about retaliation? Why was she in the EEOC?
Her first complaint is, I get treated differently with respect to leave. I'm called into less overtime. I'm not allowed to work with certain people. Her first complaint is in 95. Her second is in 2000. Her third is 2003. These are very classic and well-accepted complaints of disparate treatment.
She isn't allowed to work with people? Why?
She claims that she's being segregated, that her people around her are getting more overtime.
But why? Why?
Based upon her national origin.
Okay.
And these supervisors, all of them involved, are Filipino, and it's stipulated in the record that 90% of the nurses are Filipino. She, an Indian, is saying, look, it's bona fide and real that I come before the EEO and complain. For example, if I'm left different terms and conditions of employment and hours of work, I can certainly go to the EEO and say, look, can I compare myself with the others, the majority here, which are Filipinos? No matter any theory of the case under EEO, that's a bona fide claim. That's not a frivolous claim. That's indeed why the EEO, or Office of Resolution Management, was there, or established, or a requirement that she exhaust. And it isn't those claims that we're here before this court to discuss. It's the reaction of those claims by the co-workers and supervisors. That is to say, Ms. Nair comes before us saying, as a result of those underlying claims, my co-workers came to me and said, you're the trouble in our unit. You went to the EEOC. Stop doing that. And what do we have? We have absolutely no action by those supervisors. Judge, you talk about Ms. Ramos. Ms. Ramos comes up, they get into an argument, and there's an allegation by the plaintiff that she was poked with these
scissors. Right.
But Ms. Ramos lies to her supervisor. Very clearly, she says, when she's asked, what happened with regard to that? Ms. Ramos said nothing. The supervisor says, all right. And then a week later, the supervisor gets absolute proof that that happened. Absolute proof. There is, in fact, an admission. And in her deposition, I asked Ms. Ramos, well, what did you do to investigate reasonably what happened to this woman? Absolutely nothing. And I asked her, isn't there a violence in the workplace policy? Yes, there is. Can you give me any explanation of why you would not investigate a physical attack? I can't answer at all.
Okay.
I submit that shows disparate treatment.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Bridge. Your time has expired. Ms. Brock?
May it please the court, counsel? This is exactly the kind of case for which the summary judgment rules were designed, because once you strip away the inadmissible evidence, the speculation, and the flat-out misstatements of the evidence that Nair produced to avoid summary judgment, there's just nothing left to her case.
Now, of course, if you credit Ms. Nair's version of events, there are some indications, are there not, that her co-workers were harassing her for having filed the EEO charges. Could a jury find that the hospital should have been more aggressive in telling her co-workers that they were not to retaliate against her for having filed these complaints, do you think?
First, I don't think there is any evidence in the record of what you just said. That the most there is in the record is Nair telling me in her deposition that on a couple of occasions, co-workers said something to her about filing EEO claims. That is the most that there is. There's none of the nurses themselves ever said that they said anything about it. None of the contemporaneous reports that Nair wrote at the time about these altercations make any mention of that. I just think there is no evidence in the record for that. An example of the inadmissible evidence that Nair relies on is her own statement, for example, that one of the supervisors told her to stop contacting the EEO. The district court struck that statement because it was contradicted by Nair's own sworn testimony that no management official ever made any negative comment about her EEO activity. Now, Nair does not challenge the district court's ruling striking the evidence and instead just ignores it and proceeds as if it were admissible evidence here, repeated it just now during the argument. The same thing is true about hearsay statements that the district court struck, including Dr. Singh's letter stating that Nair's conditions were caused by verbal abuse at work and unsafe working conditions. The district court struck that as inadmissible hearsay. Nair does not challenge the ruling striking that as evidence, and again just ignores it and proceeds and puts it in her brief here. It's certainly unfair to the district court to criticize it for failing to make reasonable inferences from evidence that the district court struck and that plaintiff does not challenge on appeal. Also, the plaintiff has made misrepresentations to you. For example, Nair points to some letters and some deposition testimony to show that she complained to her supervisors that the other nurses were harassing her because of her EEO activity, and that the supervisor admitted that she told the other nurses that Nair was doing so. But when you actually look at the letters and the deposition testimony, they do not say what Nair claims they say. It's just a straight misrepresentation. There's no evidence to support her claim that the supervisors told the nurses that the nurses complained, that Nair told the supervisors that the nurses were harassing her because of her EEO activity. Nair points to part of her psychiatrist's deposition testimony to support her claim that harassment at work caused her to suffer from major depression. What Nair doesn't tell you is that the same psychiatrist testified that psychiatrists can never, and I'm quoting here, exactly determine the cause of a depression, so they speculate on the cause. That's a direct quote from the same psychiatrist. You can't rely on speculation to avoid summary judgment. What really happened here is there is no dispute that the other nurses did not like working with Nair, and they told us why. They testified that Nair was hard to get along with, that she was defensive, she misinterpreted things, she was unfriendly, isolated, and hostile. They all testified that they just tried to avoid her because any time they had anything to do with her, it wound up in an argument. They also testified they don't like working with Nair because she constantly reported these petty, nonsensical things to the supervisors. Almost every morning, Nair would report to one of the supervisors that one of the nurses had not cared for a patient properly or not done her job properly. Now, no one's saying Nair can't do that, but doing it does not endear you to the other nurses. Nobody likes a tattletale or a busybody, and that's why these other nurses didn't like Nair. It had nothing to do with her ethnicity or her previous EEO activity. Things got so bad between Nair and the other nurses that Nair wrote a memo to the nurse manager in May of 2001 saying, "The other nurses are being mean to me." So the nurse manager tried to fix it. First, she talked to Nair. She sat down and talked to Nair about how to, learn how to get along better with your coworkers. Well, that didn't work. So the next thing she did is she called in a psychiatric nurse who held this whole series of meetings, group meetings, with everybody in the department about how to work better together. Well, that worked for a while, but things blew up again in the summer of 2002, and that's when they referred her to the Employee Assistance Program. These supervisors were really great to Nair. When she said she needed a medical leave of absence, they granted it. When she said she wanted to come back to work, they let her. When she said she wanted to come back to work in a different department, they let her do that. If there is such a thing as a Title VII Employer of the Year Award, it should go to the VA on this case, I really believe. As for the law, I think the district court got it right. Nair presented no evidence to show that her coworkers disliked her because of her national origin or EEO activity. It was very immature behavior for them to call her a liar and a paranoid jerk and to point the scissors at her and all that. But even altogether, that does not amount to a hostile environment. And even if it does, Nair presented no evidence to show that the VA was negligent in failing to discover and remedy the harassment. Nair never reported to the supervisors that her coworkers were treating her unfairly because of her national origin or EEO activity. Instead, Nair reported that her coworkers called her names, criticized her patient care skills, and refused to cooperate with her. And the supervisors responded promptly and reasonably. And as for her retaliation claim, she presented no evidence of any adverse action, presented no evidence of similarly situated employees either. So the district court properly granted summary judgment. And if the court has no further questions, we'll ask that you affirm the district court's decision. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Brock. Mr. Bridge, your time expired. We'll give you another minute.
Thank you, Your Honor. I might point out to the court that the trial court in this case did found that Nair engaged in the prima facie case. She gave the prima facie case. She engaged in protected activity. And, in fact, the court found on at least three occasions in the record that those supervisors did, in fact, receive objections that listed as the reason for the objection her filing of EEO complaints. In fact, three times those supervisors received from those workers allegations to the effect, she's getting us in trouble. We don't want to work with her. And that's in that context, the government also must concede that in giving all this leave time to Ms. Nair, there was never a question interposed as to the legitimacy of that leave. Dr. Kay makes it very clear in his opinions that this was harassment at work, and it resulted in extreme depression.
Now, your opponent says that your brief relies on evidence that was excluded by the district court.
There was evidence in this case excluded because it preceded the settlement agreement in 2001. Some of those instances occurred in 2001.
Well, did you rely on that in your brief?
No. We've listed three, four different occasions in 2002 and 3, which were after the settlement agreement. Now, the real argument
They state flat, Ms. Brock stated argument, and she states it in her brief, your reply brief doesn't mention this, that in your brief you have relied on documents, cited documents that were excluded by the district, and also some deposition testimony by Nair that was stricken by the district court. Is that correct?
No, Your Honor, no. I'll be specific to the court. In the reply brief at page 2, in fact, the court noted that the defendant had failed to deny following statements contained in Nair's statement of additional facts, and they are listed at the court at 9A, 9C, E, and 10. Each of those are not relying upon anything that was barred. In fact, these findings of the court are based upon occurrences which were not denied by the defendant and therefore taken as true for purposes of summary judgment.
I'm sorry, you've lost me. She says your brief relied, I don't mean your reply brief, your opening brief cited evidence that had been excluded. Is that correct or incorrect?
No, it was not correct. And the only evidence we cited was the continuing violation theory.
Not continuing violation. You didn't cite anything that had been stricken by the district judge.
No, we did not. In fact, we went all the way back and said, for example, she filed a complaint in 95, 2000, and 2003. We did point to the fact that she had a 95 claim and a 2000 claim, even though they're not brought in for evidentiary purposes. They're part of the prima facie case.
Did you cite the part of the deposition that was stricken?
No, I did not.
Of her deposition.
Okay. Counsel's comment about the stricken part of the deposition is in fact accurate. The court did not accept that allegation that was posited in the deposition. That is accurate.
Okay, well, thank you very much to both counsel.
Thank you.